I think the first thing we have to do as we begin this series of going through the Agaditas on Churban HaBayis is to understand why Chazal were koved and why Chazal decided to place them in Meseches Gittin, in the middle of Tractate of Gittin, which deals with the laws of divorce, to understand what is the common denominator between the destruction of the temple and the painful exile and divorce. Truth is, there is one hint to it at the very end of Meseches Gittin. The Gemara says that the Mizbeach, the altar, cries over he who divorces his first wife. First wife is, in the days of polygamy, it was understood that the first wife is a person's soulmate and the second wife that he takes is something in additional, which is, so his second wife is not his predestined soulmate. His second wife is something that he earns, to the extent that he's righteous, so he gets a good second wife. To the extent that he's wicked, he gets a bad second wife. But the one's first wife, that's his original predestined soulmate that already 40 days before the zygote is formed, the heavenly voice rings out and says, this one to this one. So the first wife, which represents the predestined soulmate, so he who divorces his first wife, so Amizbeach murid alav the most, the altar cries for him, even the altar cries for him. So the altar, which is the central part of what the temple is all about, because the temple is the place where we do the sacrificial order, and that's the number one thing that's missing by not having a temple, is that all the mitzvahs of the sacrificial order are missing. So the altar cries for he who divorces his first wife. So you see already some type of commonalities, some type of relationship between the Beis HaMikdash, the altar, and marriage. That the Mizbeach cries over he who divorces his first wife. So, to understand this, first on a simpler level, and then we'll go on a deeper level. The Beis HaMikdash, right, the temple is called the House of Holiness. And Chazal say on the Pasuk, Nalo Basil Ke Yaakov, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, that in future the Goyim, when they'll admit that, God dwells amongst the Jewish people, so okay, let us ascend to the house of the Lord of Jacob, right, the house of the Lord of Jacob, as they will understand the temple as being the house of the Lord of Yaakov Avinu, and said, not Avraham Avinu, because he called the temple site a mountain by the Akeda, when it was tested whether he'd be willing to sacrifice Yitzhak. So he calls the place, which was in the future the place of the temple, he calls it Har Hashem Yireh, right, the mountain on which God appears. So he called the temple site a mountain. Yitzchak called the temple site a field. Right, but Yaakov, he had the insight that even though he visited the temple site, before there was anything there, when it was a totally barren area, he said, Ein zekim basel kim v'zer shashmayim. This is nothing other than the house of Hashem and the gateway to heaven. So he called it a house. He had the insight, and Chazal considered that a tremendous insight, that even when there was nothing there, he called it a house, and that's why in the future everyone will say the house of the God of Jacob, because he was the first one to call it a house. Something very interesting that we're supposed to perceive the temple as a house. Right? The temple is a house. It's a home. Right? So it's a home, where now the home, is not just a structure of four walls and a roof. That's a house. Right, but bias is also in Lashon HaKodesh a home, right? It's and a home is where there's a sense of family, right? So a family needs a house, but it's really the family that's the home, and just because they're a home, they deserve a house, to properly house the family. So Chazal say, Beso Zu Ishto, man's house, man's home is his wife. One of the Tanaim said, took pride, he never called his wife, he called her Besi, always called her his home. The sense of having a home, i.e. a family, right, is the basic family unit is man and wife together. That's the basis of the family, and the children are just the expansion of the family. Big family versus small family, but the marriage is the essence of having a family, i.e. the essence of having a home. A home deserves a house, but a house is not a home. Right? A person who's single and lives in a house, a big house, feels lonely there, and then he still feels unfulfilled. Right? So he has a house, but he doesn't have a home. Right? A person who's single doesn't really need a house, he doesn't even need an apartment, he just needs a place to sleep. Right? Doesn't need this thing called my house. That you need for lack of a better word, luxury, that it's called for when you have your own family. Right. So this is the sense of what the base mission is, that we're family with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we're family. And, you know, we know that in Shir HaShirim, right, the Song of Songs, which is a love song between a man and a woman, that, you know, the man, it represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, and the woman represents the Jewish people. Right. That, you know, the nature of our connection to God is we're family with God, we're married to God, because the most basic family unit is marriage. You know, we know, God forbid, people go through a divorce, right? So it's called a broken home, even though they don't just have one house, they have two houses. It's still called a broken home, because the real home that deserves a house, right, is, you know, the marriage. That's the basic backbone of the family. Having a lot of children is just called the family expands. But without a marriage, a solid marriage, it's a broken home. They may have a house, but it's no home. It's a broken home. Like we said, you know, a family which is a home and therefore deserves a house. Right? But a house is not a family or a home. So the understanding this, and Yaakovinu had the insight that, you know, that our relationship with God should be one of a home, not one of a mountain that's above us, or even a field that's something you could invest in and gain from. You know, that you know, those are also you know potential ways of relating to holiness, right? But the ikkar of what God wanted for us is that we should be family with Him. Right. So, and that's the commonality between the Beis HaMikdash and family life, and that's the secret of that when a person gets divorced, so the altar cries for him, because you know the Jewish marriage should in a way be a mini Beis HaMikdash, just like a Beis HaMikdash, it's like a macro marriage between the Jewish people and God. You know, and then our family is there in that house, right? But it's also vice versa. The relationship works in the other way also. That every Jewish marriage should be like a mini temple. And that's what Chazal says, Zachu Shechina Shruya B'nei. If the man and woman merit and they live a life of that's based on Torah, they have the divine presence resting between them. So, you know, a house is a mini temple, a home is a mini temple, and a temple is a macro marriage between God and Jewish people. Right? To go a little bit deeper, right, and this is a point that's made in the Nefesh HaChaim in a side note in Shar Aleph, right, the bill of divorce that makes divorce is called Sefer Kris, a book of cutting, a book of severance. And my sainted Rosh Hashiva, blessed memory of Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik L'Kodesh Livracha, used to explain that it says by the union of man and wife that already spoken about in Genesis, Vayul Basar, they become like one person, right? The unity between man is so perfect, it's like they're one person. So divorce is like surgery. It's a book of severance, cutting, right? You know, and so now kares, cutting, also represents, one of the worst punishments for grave sins. Kares, cutting, that, you know, man's soul is cut off from his body. Right? The nechrasan nefesh ahi, the nefesh, you know, the aspect of soul that permeates the body, is cut off from The other level is called Ruach and Neshama. Right? So because, you know, Ishto Kegufo, a woman is like your body. It's a principle in Halacha. Ishto Kegufo. Right? She is like his body and he's like her soul. They're like one person. And divorce is like Kores, it's literally not just surgery, but it's like that type of, you know, cosmic surgery that the body's been cut off from the soul. And that, says Nefesh Chaim, is also Golus, right? That when the divine presence was in the Beis HaMikdash, parallel to that, the Jewish people were in the land of Israel with their own kingdom. And Kores, you know, Golus is like Kores, says the Nefesh Chaim, that, you know, it's cosmic Kores that, you know, the Jewish people are cut off from their land. The body of a nation is their land. That's their body, right? Because that's their place on earth, is their country. A nation in exile is like a soul, because there's an identity, without a body. It's like a concept of a separate nation without their own foothold on earth, without their own country, right? So there's like a cutting off. It's like a kores, right? It's a marriage parallel to a soul cut off from a body, which is really alluded to in the cutting between the union of a man and wife, because Ishto Kegufo, the wife is like his body and he's like her soul, and there's that, you know, terrible severance, a cutting. Right, that's the same thing, cutting a nation off from its land. And also we know that the divine presence was also cut off from its dwelling place in the Beis HaMikdash, Kishagol Yisrael, Gosar Shechina Imem. When the Jewish people went into exile, so also the Divine Presence also packed its bags and left, leaving the Temple Mount desolate, not just physically, but to some extent spiritually also. All right. So this is the tremendous insight of how we have to appreciate the Jewish marriage and also understand our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are family with him. We're his wife, right? We're his domain. We are his home on earth. The Jewish people are God's home on earth. Right? And that's the commonality between the destruction of the temple and the exile and divorce.